Hour 3, RBKD, taking you all the way up until 6:30. We got high school football tonight. Lots of it. Get the Horn app. It'll help you out. We got talented people that are covering all of Central Texas. I mean, we've got a really cool team here, so you can listen maybe as you're out and about, and you can listen to all the high school games. Let's get to Beat the Pluck right now. Get to hornfm.com if you want to sign up for Beat the Pluck. We got some drinks. We got some food. We're hanging out. We'll be watching the TCU game next weekend at one of the 7 Austin area Pluckers locations. Best wings in town. Best sports bar in town. Most of y'all know that. If you don't, you need to stop by there because it is a great place to watch games. And one of their owners, one of my buddies, Dave Paul, we pick college games against the spread. So we'll get back to it this week. Week number 4. Dave, I started off 2-0. I was dominating. And you came back last week like you usually do. It was pretty close. The game that we had separate was West Virginia and Virginia Tech. I turned it off at halftime. I thought, you know what? Dave got me. He nailed this one. West Virginia's going to blow him out. They made you sweat, though, a little bit.
Yeah, they definitely the game turned quickly, and I was worried I was going to be 0-3 against you. So luckily, we pulled that one out at the end.
Yeah, Dave texted me. He said, by the skin of my teeth. But he got the W. So let's get to this week. I still think we're at a sample size moment. Rod and I have talked about that, where we're figuring out who a lot of these teams are. So I don't feel overly confident in a lot of these picks. But, hey, let's do it. Let's have some fun here. Once again, Pluckers.com and HornFM.com. Kansas State at Oklahoma State. Spencer Sanders has not done anything through the passing game. They're able to get that win against Boise State, 21-20. I don't know how they did, but they did. Their defense is good. They've got a good run game. And then you got Kansas State, who is undefeated right now, but they've got a backup quarterback in Will Howard. He was only 7 of 10, so they rely on Deuce Vaughn and Irvin with their run game. I think this could be a low-scoring game, considering that I don't trust either quarterback. I know it's in Stillwater. Oklahoma State's favored by 6. I'm going to go and take the Wildcats with this one. What about you?
I feel the same way. I think K-State's been able to run the ball. Probably should take a lot of the pressure off Howard to have to throw. Both defenses are good so far this year. And Chris Klieman as a underdog is always a solid play. And 6 points with that OSU offense right now seems too rich for me.
Rod, what about you on this one? We talked about it a little bit earlier. I know you're not a Will spill the pill type of guy, but they don't expect him to do much. They don't want him to have to do much. And I know you're not a Spencer Sanders guy. Would you lay 6 with the Cowboys at home, or are you with Dave and I?
I'm with you guys. I think Oklahoma State can win it, but I think it will be a field goal game, fourth quarter. Maybe there's a backdoor cover in there late, but I think it's going to be a tight game. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the next one. This is for the pride of Dallas. We have a lot of listeners from Dallas, and I get that via Twitter and also the text line. Lots of people. We appreciate that. If you're listening in the Metroplex, man, awesome to have you on. You can get to hornfm.com. A lot of y'all have the Horn app. But Pluckers is very prominent in that area as well. Dave, I had my niece, who's at TCU, texting me a picture. She was at Pluckers with some of her girlfriends a couple weeks ago. You got that in Fort Worth. And then a buddy of mine was in the Greenville location. How many Pluckers locations do we have in the DFW area if they want to watch SMU and TCU?
We have 7 up in Dallas and Fort Worth, and we're open an 8th in Fort Worth in about a year. So always looking to open more stores in that market.
Yeah, no, I can understand, but you guys are very popular up there, as you should be. We got SMU at TCU, so that area is going to be fired up about this. TCU favored by 9.5. You know, they barely got by Cal. SMU had the Hail Mary to stay undefeated. Are you going to lay the points with the Horned Frogs at 9.5, or are you going with the Ponies?
I think that's too many points. I mean, the TCU defense hasn't been that strong, and SMU been able to throw the ball around quite a bit this year. I mean, Tanner Mordecai looks pretty solid, and I just don't see the talent difference being like it has been in the past 10 years or so. I think SMU's offense is explosive enough that they keep it within 9.5.
Yeah, I was leaning that way all week long, and this one's up in the air. The SMU secondary has had all types of issues. They're allowing 351 yards to Louisiana Tech, then 388 against North Texas. I'm with you on Mordecai. Their offense is legit. Their defense is just garbage. TCU could be looking ahead to Texas, but I'm going to lay it. I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to go ahead and lay that right there and say that TCU wins this by 10 points. Rod, SMU at TCU. TCU favored by 9.5. Dave brings up some good points, man. This offense, Mordecai, the Oklahoma guy, he's talented, and their offense looks fantastic. Do they have enough with the offense to keep this between or, you know, below 10?
Yeah, I think they do. Because TCU, to me, the defense hasn't been as dominant early as I thought it would be. Maybe this is the week they round into form. They do have a dangerous offense, potentially. They can, get off some chunk yardage plays. They got some explosive players. Hasn't really come together for them. I know SMU can move the ball on them. And we saw those corners. Might be the best cornerback duo in the Big 12, in my opinion. Still were exposed early on in the season.
I know.
And I think SMU might be able to make some plays on them. TCU wins, but I think SMU keeps it close.
And that's one why I was leaning with SMU all week or all week long. I was thinking, well, I watched that Cal game, and those corners got toasted. And this game's also been very tight. SMU has really put a scare into TCU.
City rivalry.
City rivalry. You got all that stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get to UCLA and Stanford. UCLA coming off the upset loss, kind of an upset, against Fresno State. Fresno's a good team. Been telling you that all year long. They're at Stanford, and UCLA is a 4.5-point favorite. I actually called the Fresno win last week, so that was easy with 11.5, Dave. Made a little bit of cash on that one. I think we're probably doing the opposite here, and we're giving Stanford too much love. They beat a USC team who is not good and has no defense. They got their asses handed to them by Kansas State. I'm going to take UCLA to win by a touchdown. What about you?
I'm going to go the other way. I like Stanford. They actually, because of COVID, they haven't played a home game in, I think, like 7 or 8 games.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a big deal for them to come back home. And they're 11-2 as a home dog going back to 2010. The Bruins, to me, got way too much love early. I still think the talent level on that team hasn't improved enough to be a 3.5-point favorite. I kind of like the hook in this. I think UCLA wins by 3, but I'll take Stanford.
All right, it's actually 4.5. So, Rod, 4.5-point favorite for UCLA. Ooh, where are
like
you going,
it.
Man?
I like UCLA.
All right.
You know,
right,
I do. I like him as a bounce back. Even Chip Kelly admitted that they were overranked after everybody, you know, loved their start, 2-0, probably ranked a little bit too high. Now they come back down to earth. I think Chip Kelly, he's got something special for UCLA this year. Veteran team, new schemes. I think they win it by more than 4.
This is Beat the Pluck. We're talking with Dave Paul, one of the owners of Pluckers. Get to pluckers.com. Find a location near you. It's the best sports bar, in the state that I've been to, and definitely the best wings in the state. If you're in Dallas, about to have 8 locations, adding another one to Fort Worth. If you're in Houston, get to pluckers.com. Back to it here as we go to Iowa State and Baylor. Iowa State is a 7-point favorite. There was a lot of hype about this team early on. Baylor really hadn't played anyone, but they've looked really good. What are you doing with Iowa State -7 in Waco?
I think this is the toughest game to call because you really don't know what – I mean, Baylor's done everything they should do, but it's hard to tell against the competition they've played, and Iowa State's played a tough game against Iowa. I don't know that I want to – I feel it's going to land right around 7. I'll take Iowa State, though, and hope that they kind of get their season turned around and win by 10.
All right. I was hoping you'd go with Baylor there. I think Baylor's overrated. They haven't played anyone, and Iowa State, it's easy to kind of crap on them a little bit with the Iowa game. I'm going to take Iowa State. I think they win that thing by 2 touchdowns. We go to Soldier Field, Notre Dame and Wisconsin. Notre Dame has not looked good. Wisconsin's offense looked awful against Penn State, but you got to give them a little bit of love for keeping that thing close. Wisconsin, a 6.5-point favorite. I'm not sold on Notre Dame. I'm not sold on them winning this game. There's just too many holes on both these teams. I'm going to take the Irish +6.5. What about you?
I struggle with this game because I feel like Notre Dame's played so poorly and it's been week in and week out that I think you kind of have a pretty good idea of who they are. But and the Wisconsin defense is really good.
Yeah, they are.
I think Notre Dame's going to have a hard time getting points. And especially I like Jack Cohn, you know, going back and playing Wisconsin. So he probably is pretty well known by the defensive coaching staff. So I like Wisconsin to cover the number.
All right. I've seen a lot of people going with that. I think that's probably where the sharp money is right now. West Virginia at Oklahoma. Oklahoma defensively looked bad against Tulane. Offensively really sputtered considering who they are last week against Nebraska. Maybe a blueprint with that soft zone was thrown out there. You've got Oklahoma favored by 17 in this game. West Virginia coming in, riding high off the Virginia Tech win. You going to go with your Mountaineers again here, Dave?
I hate this spot for West Virginia because I think that was a big win, and they're probably going to be flat. And Oklahoma is pretty desperate to impress the pollsters, I think, at this point. But at the same time, I just haven't seen enough out of Oklahoma, especially in that Tulane game, to justify a 17-point favorite over anybody. So I'll take West Virginia.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you on that, too. I think this could be a lot tighter than people think. I think OU is still figuring themselves out. Rod, let's get you on the last two. I'm thinking you're taking Notre Dame because you're taking Notre Dame straight up in this, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm taking Notre Dame.
Okay.
Straight up. I just I like Wisconsin defense. I agree with you guys. I don't trust the offense just yet in case it ends up being not a shootout because it never will be a shootout. But at least they score in the mid to high 20s.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if it's going to get there.
Yeah.
What's the line on the game? What's the over-under?
It's the over-under. That's a good question. Dave, you know the over-under with Notre Dame and Wisconsin?
No, sorry. No, not necessary. Just wanted
there it is. I don't have it in front of me.
45.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly, right? They get high 20s in there, I'd be impressed. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they expect either team to get there. So I'll take them. In Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I'm taking West Virginia. Jerry Daigie, man.
So you're with us.
It's Daigie, my only concern there, his decision-making. But I think they'll keep it within, what'd you say? It's a 17?
It's 17.
Yeah, that's too much. They'll keep it within 17.
Another game, another national game that's going to be at a pro stadium. You got Texas A&M and Arkansas at Jerry World, and Arkansas is a 5-point dog in this game. That line's gone down a little bit. Texas A&M, they've got a backup quarterback in there. They've got four new offensive linemen. Their protection, when I read this last night, when Calzada was in dropbacks, he was pressured 50% of the time their last game. So they're still figuring all that stuff out. Arkansas looked really good against Texas, but, man, this is a different defense they're going to be facing against Texas A&M. I was Arkansas all the way in this. They've got their center and their right tackle, and I've looked all day long, been looking the last couple of days to figure out if those guys are going to play. And Sam Pittman's been really quiet about it. So I don't know if they're going to play. I'm assuming one of them will play, and this is going to be a low-scoring, really tough game. I think Arkansas could win it, especially if both those guys play. I'm going to take Arkansas with the 5. What about you, Dave?
I like the Aggies in this one. I think the talent difference between the team, if you looked at this game before the season started, I think the Aggies might be 10 to 12-point favorites. And I think a lot of the money's moving because of that Texas win for Arkansas. I'm not a KJ Jefferson guy. I think he played well against Texas, but I think the Aggies will find a way to make him stay one-dimensional and throw the ball, and I'm not sure he can do it. I like the Aggies to cover.
Rod?
Yeah, that news about the offensive lineman of Arkansas worries me.
Center and the right tackle.
That's concerning. I'm going to go with Arkansas because that's my first mind, is that they pulled the upset, and KD has been, he's been pretty good lately. And you've been feeling that one for a while.
I've been feeling that one for a while.
So I'll go with you on that. You've been feeling the Arkansas upset for a minute. So
two offensive linemen does.
Two offensive linemen worries me, man, a lot.
I know. Yeah. We're doing Beat the Pluck here. Get to hornfm.com to sign up. You get some great food, some free food, and some free drinks, and we can watch a TCU game at one of the 7 Austin area Pluckers locations. So if you're in Austin, definitely get to Pluckers.com. It's the best sports bar. It's the best wings in town. Dave and his partners, I'm not sure if they imagine this, but, man, this thing has just blown up, and it is very, very popular. You can get the Pluckers Club app, too, so you can virtually save your place in line. Lots of people have been pretty excited about that. Last game here, Dave. We may have to do a tiebreaker, but last game, Texas Tech at Texas, 11 a.m. kickoff. We know what this game is. I don't think we know who these two teams are yet, though. Texas favored by 9. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we know who these teams are, and 9 points sounds like a lot. But the Horns usually play well at home against Tech. That's the one thing that worries me to take Tech, but I think the Horns are going to win, but 9 sounds like too many, so I'll go with Tech.
It's too many. I think both of us could see Texas winning this by 17. Rod and I have kind of given some of the keys to the game. We'll get back to that a little bit. I'm with you, though. I'm going to take Tech. I do think Texas wins this game, but nothing's going to surprise me because, look, Tech hasn't played anyone, Rod. Texas is – we kind of know who they are. We know more about them, but as we talked about during One and Done – we don't really know about their secondary this year. They haven't been tested, and Tech will do that.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I agree. Until we find until we know how this team is going to respond to some real adversity, and they didn't see it versus Louisiana because they played really well. Give them credit for that. Didn't see it versus Rice because they played really well. Give them credit for that. But when they saw adversity, and granted, it was on the road in an SEC-style adversity versus Arkansas, they folded up. So the sample size tells me that they'll win the game, but they'll face some adversity, and when they do, I'm not sure how they'll respond to it just yet.
All right, Dave, we've got an over-under of 62 in this game. We do need, may need a tiebreaker. We've got four different picks. We've got TCU, SMU, UCLA, Stanford, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and Arkansas A&M. So we've got some flavor in this week for people to enjoy it. But do you have a score for a tiebreaker in this game?
Say Texas wins this one. Let's say 34-27.
I like that. That's really damn close to what I was going to be doing. So, Rod, you want to filibuster here while I find the score now?
Yeah, I'll go. I like that. I'll go 31-24.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go actually even a little bit more. I'm going to go 38-31 as a final. And so we all have really tight games.
69.
Nice.
Would you say
38-31? 38-31.
Yeah.
And so I'm 7 points over that over-under. I just got questions about both defenses. I think the offenses are going to be able to get some points. And, of course, I say that, and it's going to be 6-3 at the half. Dave, we always appreciate it, man. Hope you're doing well. You got to be feeling good about your Georgia Bulldogs. You're the best team in the country right now. I'm telling you, man.
The defense is the best defense in the country.
No question.
Sure. And watching Daniels last week, I mean, if he can, once they get Pickens back and Darnell Washington back and, you know, the offense, it's still good. I think it'll be fantastic. If they don't win it this year, they're never going to win it. You know, they've been jinxed for years. But they remind me of the Texas team with Vince, where they just have so much depth at so many positions. It's not about one guy, and I feel like this team's going to be healthier as the year goes on, which is new for them. That rarely happens, but they've had so many guys out when they get them back. And the defense is so deep, you can lose two or three guys, and it doesn't even hurt you.
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned that, because I thought about Georgia, and I thought Dave's probably going through what he went through in the early 2000s towards Rod, the end of Rod's tenure, where you're like, man, we've got five-star after five-star after five-star. Mm-hmm. When are we going to, you know, and we're at the top of the game. When are we going to take that next step and actually win a ring? I'm feeling Georgia right now.
Is this the year? It might be the year, especially because a lot of the big dogs at the top, they look beatable.
Clemson, Ohio State.
They look beatable.
Still got Bama, though, so watch out with that. True. Dave, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, talk to you all next week.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Paul, owner of Pluckers. Really good guy. He's a fun guy to hang out with.
They want more. Did I hear you right? More Pluckers in the Dallas area opening up? Is that what he said?
So there's 7 in the the Austin area, and then 7 in the DFW area.
So Austin has as many as DFW area.
Right. But they're about to open up an 8th one in Fort Worth, he said. So they're going to have 2 in Fort Worth, which I understand.
My niece, also say they got to change that.
My niece was there and said, I thought you have connections here. Can I, like, get in early? And I go, no, I'm not getting you in early, and I don't have any connections there. I go, get the Pluckers Club app. You can virtually download it. So she did.
Spread the love of them wings, man. You got to spread them.
You got to spread it
all over, man. Everybody needs access to the spicy lemon pepper.
And you got some Houston locations, too. I was looking at that last night. You got a lot of different ones.
There you go.
They're all over the place. All right, we appreciate Dave. Get to hornfm.com. You can sign up for that. Just look for Beat the Pluck. It's free. You sign up. We have a really good time. So, actually, this week's going to determine whether or not we get free drinks. You're definitely going to have some free food, but get you a couple of beers on the house, at least on me, if I can win that. I feel good about that, man. I do. I feel good about the picks right now.
Yeah. No, you're going to bounce back. You take a lot of pride in your...
I do.
In your Beat the Plug picks. I can tell. It bothers you when you lose.
It does. I'm a weirdly competitive guy, and I have been my whole life.
That
man.
Makes sense.
I take some stuff really seriously. There's some buddies that played video games with me that are just like, man, we just relax.
Broke a lot of controllers, huh?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Way too many.
Yeah, we used to have like a basically a controller fund that you would have to keep.
A jar.
Because, yeah, basically because guys would just break controllers so much that you had to go buy them so often.
Right. Yeah. We're a weird species. Hey, I was ranting a lot with video games. What are you ranting about today?
Good rant today. Actually, I'm going to get into the Stephen F. Austin game randomly. The Texas Tech Stephen F. Austin game, I think, reveals something that could teach us a little bit about what could possibly be the game plan for Texas going up against Texas Tech. So we'll get into that coming up on the other side in Raj Rant of the Day right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
But I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Alright, welcome back to RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. Actually, this rant, getting into the Texas Tech game a little bit and breaking down the matchup. I went back and watched the Stephen F. Austin game again. It's an interesting game to watch because Texas Tech only, you know, they won the game 28-22. It's a really tight game for them. But it offered up a pretty interesting solution if Texas ends up in a disastrous worst-case scenario. Right, and I always say at this time, I always put myself in a coach's position, like I am the coach preparing for a week. And by this time, you should be playing out the game in your head as a coach. And you should give your opponent the respect that they are going to come up with an adequate game plan to counter yours. Assume, give them enough respect to assume that they're going to stop whatever your initial game plan is. And then now you need to adjust. You need to counter. Yeah. And by this time in the week, we have Friday. Obviously, game day is tomorrow. You should be sitting down with your coaches, having a couple of Bud Lights, hanging out, tequila shots, whatever it is. All right, coach, give me your plan if this game plan you got is crap.
Tequila shots? What are you, Edo here?
Whatever it may be. You know what I mean? But you get together with your coaches so y'all can just kind of shoot.
Sark obviously wouldn't be doing that, so save the text on that.
I did not mean it like that. But coaches often get together. Yes. But I did not mean it like that. That was not trying to be insensitive. But at this point, you know, you play it out in your head. You have the thought experiment, if you will, and play it out. You know, what if they stop us? I don't think the coaching staff did that in the Arkansas game or before it. I don't think they did that at all. I think they assumed their game plan would work, and when it didn't work, they didn't have an answer, and they look like the deer in the headlights look. We all remember that look. Tom Herman had that look, too. Charlie always had that look, it seemed.
They played it out as, so we can stay too high because our defensive line's good enough. And
well, offensively, too.
And offensively.
Well, both. Offensively and defensively.
They said, well, our offensive line's going to be good enough to at least not get their asses handed to them.
I think both. They didn't. I mean,
and Hudson is far enough along. There was a lot of stuff.
Right. Deciding not to play Casey Thompson until what, a minute left in the third quarter.
Yeah,
I think we all agree now in retrospect that was a bit of a mistake.
Wouldn't have made a difference, but.
But at least I think if he'd have done the thought experiment that I often recommend at this point in the week, then he'd have got through the experiment in his head and said, okay, what if Hudson Card has a bad game? What do I do? Well, you got to pull him after a certain amount of time, right? Once you definitively know that he's shook. He's not going to be able to recover from this. We got to make a change to give ourselves a better chance to win. At one point, are you going to do that? I think Sark was willing to stick with Hudson Card until there was no more hope left, which he did, basically. Put in Casey Thompson was the white flag. He didn't put in Casey Thompson to try to win the game.
It was a 3rd-and-15 draw.
Exactly. He put in Casey Thompson to wave the white flag like, all right, I'm done. I got nothing else. But learning from that, which I believe Sark and his staff will, learning from that, now play out the worst-case scenario. What if your initial game plan stops? And that would be Texas Tech disrupting the Texas running game. Right, that kind of how that would play out. What if they're able to neutralize your running game and make a lot of splash plays, force you into negative runs, and force you to throw the football? Because that's what Texas Tech wants you to do. That's now playing into their that's kind of their game plan. They want to dictate the tempo. They want to force you into pass situations. And yes, they'll play man coverage, but they're coming after the quarterback. Once they know that you're going to throw the ball, they want to be able to blitz you a ton. And I was watching the Stephen F. Austin game, and this happened to, you know, Stephen F. Austin. Of course, none of the teams that Tech has played have been able to run the ball. So it actually is a good, you know, kind of sample size to see how you can attack Tech when they make you one-dimensional. I'm not saying they're going to make Texas one-dimensional, but what if they do? What do you do? What's your plan? Stephen F. Austin was really interesting. Their quarterback, Trey Self, he ended up 38 of 57, decent completion percentage, almost 67%, for 343 yards.
Yeah.
Now, here's interesting. All right, here's the interesting thing about it. So, 343 yards, that's a lot of yardage. But 275 of the 343 yards came after the catch for wide receivers. So it was a lot of getting the ball in wide receivers' hands, quickly letting them work in space. The yards per attempt for Trey Self when he threw 57 times for 343 yards, 67% completion percentage, 6 yards per attempt. He wasn't throwing the football downfield at all. A lot of screens, a lot of slip screens, a lot of bubble screens, tunnel screens.
It was quick. It was getting quick it out of his game.
And I think if you're Texas,
and
that's a really
after.
And bad tackling after because they got him in space.
Getting to your point,
it's a great blueprint because look, they got 275 yards after the catch. A lot of that was guys missing tackles in space and getting those guys in the screen game because when they win a blitz and if they get you in a passing situation, they're going to come after the quarterback. They're coming after Casey Thompson. You want to get the hands, you want to get the ball out of his hands really quickly, and you still want to have your playmakers be able to make plays in space. They did a really good job of it. I looked at the yards per attempt for Stephen F. Austin for the different types of passes. On non-play action passes, Trey Self averaged 6.5 yards per attempt. On play action passes, he averaged only 5.2 yards per attempt. But on screen passes, he averaged 7 yards per attempt. He averaged more yards per attempt on screens than any other type of pass.
Which tells you everything about Yak.
Tells you everything you need to know about, about Tech and their tackling, which obviously was an issue with them. They forced 6 missed tackles, but they were really good at getting after the quarterback. I mean, this was the adjustment by Stephen F. Austin and the coaching staff because they allowed 35 pressures in that game. Trey Self got hit 11 times, 23 quarterback hurries. They couldn't pass protect at all. I mean, the only thing they could really do was just get the ball out of his hands really, really quickly, and it was very effective. Now, necessity is the mother of invention, so they had no choice, but Texas will have more options, and this should be one of the options. The option should be, all right, let's just have a really, really exotic, elaborate, expansive screen package, whether it be a traditional running back screens, running back slip screens, bubble screens, tunnel screens, whatever. Like, throw a ton of them out there and make sure you have them ready where Case can get the ball out of his hands really fast on those passing downs. And matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't be upset if you open up the game with an extension of the running game because they're going to be expecting the run. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to be, crowding the line and trying their best to run blitz early on and to counter that aggressiveness in those run blitzes early on, those slants early on in one direction, trying to really guess as to where Texas is going to run the football. The screen game.
It's huge.
You can get them out. Yeah, right. You can use it with any number of guys on the field. Jordan Whittington, Xavier Worthy, Bijan, Rojo, number of different. Keelan Robinson.
Yeah.
Get in on the screen game.
I'm so glad you said Keelan because Keelan's a guy. I watched the SFA game and it was Xavier Gibson. You know the little water bug they had? 5'9", 170. He was in the slot.
He was in the slot.
And he forced a lot of those tackles. He's a water bug. He's shifty. That's where Robinson, I think some of these guys. Sark can replicate that. I also think the curl flat concept we kind of talked about with isolating and the RPO concept, but the curl flat concept that can isolate the Texas backers, I think you can do the same thing to Tech.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with you. 100%. And, you look at that Trey Self game that he had against Texas Tech's defense. He was 13 of 14 when he threw passes behind the line of scrimmage. close to 93% completion percentage. When he threw the ball from 0 to 9 yards, anywhere in that short range, he was 21 of 27, so very effective. But when he threw the ball 10 yards or more down the field, he was 4 of 13. He was actually 4 of 10 from 10 to 20 yards. So I'm not saying that Texas won't be able to throw the football downfield. My point is that that's all they really had, and they still were able to be really effective just working pretty much the screen game, the short game, and the quick game.
You nailed it.
That's it.
They couldn't protect. They couldn't run.
They couldn't protect.
They couldn't run at all.
Couldn't run at all, couldn't protect, and couldn't throw the football downfield 20 yards or more, yet they worked the screen game and the quick game to perfection. You can do that against Tech, and you can do it not necessarily out of necessity if they end up stopping your running game, which, by the way, I don't think they'll be able to do that. But you also can do it to break tendency and kind of shock Tech, because I think early on they're going to be selling out to stop the run. Mm-hmm. You sell out to stop the run, hit them with the screen, you can pop them big. 275 yards after the catch for Stephen F. Austin, Texas can have those kind of numbers.
I totally love it. Agree. And no, I mean, the SFA game especially, that one stood out the most to me, and you did a great job kind of highlighting what they did. It was quick screen game. They couldn't run. They couldn't protect. They had the Gibson kid who's 5'9", 170. I mean, he, and so it was isolation in space. Can you make tackles? And they couldn't. We've mentioned this a couple times this week, but for both these teams, tackling is always big, but that could be your separator with turnovers in this game.
Let me reiterate, I don't think they're going to shut down the Texas running game. The point of the thought experiment is,
I totally
what if they did?
What if they did?
Don't get caught with your pants down, not knowing what the hell to do with that look on your face that we saw in the Arkansas game. That shouldn't happen again. You should, they're going to stop our running game? Hey, I didn't think they'd do that. Kudos to you. Now check out what I got in store for you.
Yeah.
I was ready for this. You should have a counter. You should have an adjustment. And listen, Texas offensive line can't pass protect, so this also works into their lack of pass protection. It insulates the passing game a little bit. And also, you know, you look at the running game against Rice, it was great, and against Louisiana, it was effective. We haven't seen the running game truly tested either. And I don't know if Texas Tech is going to be a test for it, because their defense could be a bit of a fugazi.
We don't know yet.
We don't know how real that is. You mentioned that too in your Beat the Pluck and in your One and Done as well. So I just think that is a nice little counter. I'm sure the coaches have already thought about it, but that screen game package has got to be, in my opinion, it's got to be expansive this week especially.
And maybe come out with it like you said.
Yeah.
Run some of those concepts that have worked against them on film. I think both these offensive coordinators, which is probably why I went high on my score, are looking at stuff saying,
that's a good point.
I got some stuff I'm going to test out.
That's a good
Maybe
point.
They'll answer it. But the heart of your Rod's Rant needs to be something that's in there week in and week out. It's one of the things that separates Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick would go through with Tom Brady against a bad defense and say, what if he throws three picks and we can't throw?
Yeah.
Dude, they have they're 32nd in pass defense. You've got Tom Brady in his prime. What if they can't?
To that point, do you remember when the Patriots scored the only touchdown in the Super Bowl against the Rams? The package they scored on was 22 personnel, two backs, two tight ends out of empty formation.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots tight end said they put it in the night before.
That's great.
He said the night before they ran him, he said, you know what, let's install this. We might need it. What if Sean McVay and Wade Phillips have a really good game plan? Let's put this in, because this will ultimately break tendency, and there's no way they can prepare for 22 personnel out of empty formation. We've only done it once this year. You've only seen it like 12 times in the entire season out of all 32 teams, and they were right. They won the game for them.
Yeah. It was the only touchdown in the game, I believe, right?
Play it out in your head.
Play
just
it out.
In case.
Hopefully it won't be the case for Sark, but yeah, that's something that he did not do. The staff did not do against Arkansas. Hopefully they're doing that today. We'll get back to college football in Texas coming up at 6 o'clock. Up next, a little look around the NFL this weekend. This is RBKD on the Horn. RBKD, we're leading up to the Flex, Friday Night Flex with Snoop Snoop. Don't confuse Rod Babers and Snoop Daniel. How dare you with that. Before we get back to some Texas football, that'll be our last segment, as it should be. Take a look at some of the NFL games. We talked about the Bucs and the Rams a little bit early on. Don't forget, you can always get to hornfm.com if you want to check out any of this show or any of our other shows. We'll not have our Saturday lineup like we usually do, because we've got pregame starting tomorrow at 7 a.m., 11 a.m. kickoff. And don't forget, get the Horn app. Bucs, Rams, that's Tampa Bay favored by a point now. Rod and I are both taking Tampa Bay in that game. In terms of other matchups, Packers-Niners is probably one a lot of people will be looking at. I'm down on the Niners, even though they're 2-0 right now. I mean, it's not been an overwhelming, convincing 2-0 for me. But then the Packers have two different weeks here, Rod. This will be a game that obviously your boys with Shano, but a lot of the country will be looking at. This will be our NBC Sunday night game at 7:20.
Yeah, I think the 49ers match up well with the Packers because they know what the Packers want to do offensively. Now, they have Aaron Rodgers, so you can have a blueprint, but you know it doesn't matter. If Aaron Rodgers is on, it doesn't matter
blow
what kind
that
of blueprint.
Yeah.
Exactly. If he's Superman that day, it doesn't really matter what your blueprint is. But they do have, you know, the personnel to defend it. They got, you know, one of the best linebackers, spread baby linebackers in all of football, and they got a really good D-line. What their suspect is, and you know this, is the secondary. And going up against Aaron Rodgers, that is not a good recipe. So
no.
if they get exploited there, it's going to be a long night for them. But my man Shano knows that Matt LaFleur system because it's the same system that he runs, and he usually matches up well with it and they can come up with a really good game plan. But that was when Robert Saleh was the defensive coordinator. Now they got a new DC, so we'll see if Aaron Rodgers can have a better performance than he did, what, in 2020? No, 2019, sorry. 2019. 2020 doesn't matter because the 49ers were just a mash unit.
Yeah, it didn't even count. Yeah. I don't hold that against Shano. Chargers at the Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 7. You know, I'm not sure if I'd lay that, but Chargers showed with Dallas. They've got some holes of their own. That was a penalty-laden game. I love Herbert. I like what they do with Keenan Allen. But the Chiefs, I think, are going to be looking to get after someone after last week. They feel like they should be 2-0. They've got enough questions, though. This could be an over-under type game. The over-under of this is 54.5. I'd probably go over that.
You know, my theory is that some of the toughest games the Chiefs are going to see over the next couple of years is going to be in that division, in that ecosystem. Everybody's building their roster to beat the Chiefs, specifically in the secondary. Go look at the secondaries for the Raiders and for the Chargers and for the Broncos. They're loaded, and they keep on drafting secondary guys because they know, well, we got to go up against Patrick Mahomes every year. So we need a ton of guys that can just flat out cover all those weapons they have. And the Chargers, you know, with Brandon Staley, look what he did with that Cowboys offense. That Cowboys offense is electric. It's damn good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to say that the Cowboys offense was limited, but they did not necessarily, they weren't prolific versus the Chargers. I like Brandon Staley in that too high look that he runs a ton of. I think he'll make things interesting, but ultimately, yeah, Chiefs rebounding after a loss, they win.
They win that, and they probably cover. I think that line's right on at 7. Saints at the Patriots. Mac Jones has not been, he's not been explosive. They've struggled the red zone a little bit, but you got 2-1-1 teams here. Saints have just looked drastically different, a lot like the Packers in their 2 weeks. They blow out the Packers, did not look good last week. It was about putting pressure on Jameis Winston and forcing him to turn the ball over. If anyone can game plan for that, I think it's Bill Belichick. I'm picking the Patriots in this.
Yeah, Patriots at home, too. The Saints also had multiple coaches, like 6 different coaches.
A lot.
They were in COVID protocol at the time. They were game planning for the Panthers. I love the Saints coaching staff, but I think that the Patriots can replicate some of the things that the Carolina Panthers and Phil Snow did against the Saints. They use a lot of sub packages. The Patriots use as much, you know, dime personnel and those. They've used 3 safety looks a ton in the NFL even before it has been popularized now. And they can play man coverage on the outside and they can blitz. Same thing Carolina did. So I'm with you. I'll take the Patriots.
We got the Raiders. We got the Broncos. We have the Cardinals all trying to get to 2-0. Do all get to 2-0, or do you have any? I mean, Cardinals and the Broncos should.
Yeah, Cardinals definitely get
2-0. Cardinals are playing the Jaguars, and the Broncos are playing the Jets.
Yeah.
The Raiders with the Dolphins. We can focus more on that. Raiders get to 3-0 with that?
Yeah.
It's at home.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm going to believe in the Raiders until I have a reason not to. The reason I don't believe him is because of John Gruden. I wasn't really a fan of that Mike Mayock experience with him and the Raiders there, but they're playing good football right now, and they're doing it old school, dude. They're doing it with the lowest blitz percentage in the league right now and the lowest play-action pass percentage in the league right now.
Which is crazy because Carr was good on play-action. That's what I thought of him when he has been good.
I'm with you. Every quarterback is better, but he's really good at it. I'm with you. I don't get it, but they're winning. I'll believe in them until they lose. And Tua's out. Remember, Jacoby Brissett's going to start.
Yeah. Tua is out
for the Dolphins.
Josh Jacobs is doubtful, but that's about it. I mean, if you look at the Raiders, they're relatively healthy, and so they don't have Gerald McCoy. I mean, there's some guys in there that are on the IR or out, but relatively they are healthy. All right, NFL. We'll obviously talk a lot of Dallas and New York coming up on Monday because that's your Monday night game. We've got one more segment to go. We'll give our final thoughts on Tech and UT. And just kind of get you ready for the football weekend as we get ready for the flex. This is The Horn.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Welcome back to RBKD, Country Music Friday edition of RBKD. You can watch you can watch RBKD. Man, it's been so long. Why?
You've been so good, man.
It's been so long.
You've been so good.
Man, where did that come from?
Welcome back to the Rodcast.
I can't believe I did that. It's Friday, though. Obviously, my brain is already taking off the rest of the show, but we're off a little bit early today because we give you up to our high school coverage, Flex ATX.
Rod Babers.
Snoop.
No, Snoop. I keep on getting y'all confused, man. She really got into my head.
It was a really genuinely authentic moment. It was great. It was fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go to our Twitter account, the Horns Twitter account, and I'm sure it's been retweeted there. I actually on my account, you can go look at my favorite tweets, and it's up there too. When I was mistaken, confused for Snoop Daniel, the Snoop Daniel, JJ Don, as
JJ
I call
Don.
Him. JJ Don.
Your reaction was great. Mine was guttural.
She was a volley, for those who don't know, she was a volleyball player, middle school, I forget the middle school exactly, so I apologize. I don't want to make a mistake
there. How
many
cedar ridges are there?
I apologize.
As someone with allergies, I get it. There's a lot of cedars out there.
But she was probably as tall as Katie or I.
Yeah.
And a couple of them were, because they were remember the volleyball team.
5'10", 5'11", in middle school.
Yeah, and they gathered around the table, and, you know, I was like, that's kind of weird that, you know, middle school volleyball ladies are gathering around our table. I wonder what they want. And they whispered to each other a little bit, and then she just said, sir, excuse me, are you Snoop Daniel?
Snoop Daniel?
And I just... And I gotta tell you, is it a moment? And I've been confused with, you know, Ahmad Brooks and Nathan Vasher. I think somebody even been confused with Huff Daddy one time. You know, I get it. I'm
did you
a
ever
DB.
Get an Aaron Ross? Ross was longer, so.
Yeah, you're right.
I can see all those.
I've been confused with a Texas DB before, I get it, but never Snoop Daniel. So shout out to Snoop, man. Snoop is, Snoop is cooler than me. That was the moment I knew officially. Snoop is cooler than me. Snoop is hipper than me because the young people,
hipper.
they want to get the shout out on Flex ATX. They don't really give a damn about RBKD and what I'm doing. You did tell I played in the NFL, and I think, you know, that
her jaw dropped on that. She did say,
I think she thought that was kind of cool, but no, I'm not cool anymore.
Well, the
I'm
problem is she followed
man.
It with, was that when they had the leather helmets? No.
Yeah, so
he's not that old.
Snoop is, I always knew Snoop was cooler than me. I mean, that just goes without saying.
He's cooler than all of us.
But yeah, now it's
you know what's cool about Snoop?
Reality.
He's cool about that.
Yeah, Snoop.
Snoop coming up here.
That's coming up next.
And let's finish this off with, we can hit whatever you want, man. But Texas Tech, let me ask you this.
Okay.
So we talked a little bit about what Texas should probably do offensively, and I'm with you. I think the screen game, curl flat concept, I think both offenses will work that. You can isolate certain guys on these defenses, and you should be able to get out in space, and you should be able to make people miss. And we've seen that with Texas Tech with missed tackles. We saw that with Texas against Arkansas. Shuck against SFA, and I could sense both of us are going back to that game. We watched
it's an interesting
we watched
game
it a couple,
it's
it
his
really
worst
is.
Game so far, but it's an interesting game to watch.
He's 12-22 for 174. He's got the one touchdown, two picks. He's got a 21.2 QBR. He looked a lot better against FIU, as I mentioned, when FIU really started to concentrate even more on Eazy-E. He started hitting other guys, and he recognized that, and he got the ball out of his hand.
Yep.
How does Texas replicate what SFA did in that game to make Shuck, maybe not that, but if Shuck is anywhere near that line, Texas wins this, they cover, they win by 17 or 21, and Trey and I are coming in doing post-game, just loving life.
Yeah, no, that's I'm with you on that. That's interesting. I think that for Tech, it
now they Brooks had 193 yards rushing.
As I say, I think they wanted to try to get Brooks and get that running game off and going. And to me, if you watch that game, Tyler Shuck never settles in, right? He never really gets comfortable. In that Florida International game, you watch, he starts out comfortable. I think it's because they get him in a rhythm early. And the way they get him in a rhythm early, number one, the running game is clicking, so they can kind of keep him in favorable downs and distances. But also, the RPO game and the play-action pass game, they like that. They like that quick game, as you talked about. And I think early on, don't be surprised if you see him in the quick game just to kind of get him in the rhythm, get him comfortable, give him some confidence. And also, I think they're going to try to work those corners early.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to work those corners early is to hit him with the quick game, because I think they'll be backed up. I don't think we haven't seen the corners from Texas. I don't think I've seen them press really all year. Have you seen them? Maybe in the cold, maybe in red zone they have.
Red zone, when they actually dialed some stuff up, red zone Louisiana.
So maybe red zone, yeah. Okay. So, but
not a lot.
Much. And if you're Tech, hey man, that's an extension of the running game. Get your quarterback in a rhythm, quick game, easy. And then those corners start getting a little bit more aggressive, and that's when you can hit them with a double move over the top. So I think that if I'm Texas Tech, that's what I start off with, because I think that's what hurts Shuck. If he gets in a hole early, on a rut early, hard for him to dig himself out of it. Or just early on in that system, because he's new to it.
Yeah, he's new to it, and Chuck even showed that at Oregon. He will give you some stuff. So he's 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. He'll throw you some, and that's where hopefully Coach K can dial some stuff up. I will get back to it. I'm not sure it's going to be. I would look at tackling and turnovers as the two biggest keys to the game for me in this thing. Texas, the lines are going to have to play well enough, and I'll leave it there, right? The offensive line's going to have to hold up. I do think Texas, you've hit the numbers. They're going to really try and run on that right side. I think Texas Tech is aware of that. They're going to try and force Texas, if you are going to run, to do it on the left side.
Yeah.
I also think they're going to pressure the left side of that offensive line. And as we talk about Coach K dialing stuff up defensively, I think Tech's going to have to do that as well. Because the pressure they got in the SFA game, they're not going to be able to get.
No.
Even though this offensive line's not good, we know that. We're hoping it's just average. If it's average in this game, Texas can win and cover.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I like your...
Just average.
No, I like your assessment there. It's like they're going to run blitz off of on the right side for Texas, trying to disrupt those outside zone plays, disrupt those running plays before they ever get started, try to create some negative plays for Texas offensively. And then when Texas is passing, when they know they're passing, they're blitzing from the left.
Yeah.
Run blitz from the right. And you blitz on passing situations from the left.
Yeah.
I'll
out of this neighborhood in the run, and we're picking on this neighborhood on the pass.
I agree with that 100%. And I think along with, and we've talked about it, bump and run the wide receivers. I do think Sark will have, he's using more, pre-snap motions and shifts. Well, not more. I take that back, because actually he used less versus Rice, but more effective.
He's actually... Right? It's a threat now.
It's a threat. It's actually pre-snap motion was 40%. Yeah, I got it at 40% versus Rice, 48% versus Arkansas, 60% pre-snap motions and shifts versus Louisiana. So using it less but making it count more, as Katie said. So I think you'll get more of that to free up the wide receivers in case they want to bump and run them, but move those wide receivers around. We saw Xavier Worthy in a slot 30% of the time, more than he has been in the slot to start his young career so far in that Rice game. Same thing with Jordan Whittington. We saw him more actually on the outside than we've ever seen him before in the Sark offense. And they used him in the backfield to run a route in that Rice game. More of that. If they want to bump and run Texas wide receivers, don't give them the opportunity. Bunch formations, compressed sets, where those wide receivers can get freer releases. Those DBs won't bump and run them because they won't want to get picked on those rub routes. And
that's
those
bad football.
Those pick routes. It's dumb football.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
Now, you brought that up earlier, and that's good. That's just good football 101 coming from you, that if you want to take away the bump and run, if that's an issue with free releases, you go to those jumbo and bunch sets, and just a smart football team on the flip side, they're not going to come up and press.
And Tom Herman.
You're playing tango.
And Tom Herman and his staff, They didn't like to use bunch formations.
Or empty. And I expect to see more empty, too.
Yeah. I'll give you that. Texas right now averaging 13.2 yards per play out of empty. The reason that that is so significant, actually, and last year, I mean, Texas was still really, really good. They were averaging 10 yards per play out of empty last year. So still really good out of it. But when you have Sam Ellinger or Casey Thompson, they can be a decisive runner out of empty because it really cleans up the pre-snap read and picture for you because you can't afford to have a pre-snap shell disguised look out of empty. You got to get to your damn responsibility quick. And usually that means if I got a spy on me, I know who he is, but also I know where the matchup is. The matchup I like, if it's Xavier Worthy matched up in the slot on a safety or Jordan Whittington matched up with a safety or a linebacker, I'll take it. Oh, Bijan Robinson matched up with a linebacker.
I'll take it all
day, every day, and twice on Sunday. So, yes.
Every play more, right now if we can get that.
Yeah, more empty formation. I'm with you, brother.
All right, so I do think both receiving cores, this is going to be a chance for them to step up. And outside of what you've proven, Texas has proven that Jordan Whittington in the slot, they can convert on stuff. And that you give him two-way goes and option routes and good luck keeping up with him. And then obviously we've talked about Ezukama a lot. Eric Ezukama is going to be someone that Texas knows about. The thing that stood out the most for me with FIU in that game, and I'll repeat it, Kalon Geiger had 6 catches for 121.
Mm-hmm.
The tight ends, I counted at least the ones that I think we're going to see a lot. There were 9 catches. Very quickly, I was impressed with Shuck because I went from the SFA game to that game.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, who is this guy? Tharp had 3 catches. Tharp 6'9 for 61 yards.
Ooh.
Kuntz is 6'5. And he had 6 catches for 53
yards. Those are both
yards.
Tight ends.
They're both tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
They will utilize their tight end.
Yep.
And I think that the Texas, I think you're going to see some not only misdirection with the run game, I think you're going to see some more boot waggle, at least concepts, in getting those tight ends in the flats, getting them open, and utilizing, you know, their size. That's something that is, if I'm Coach K, I'm obviously focused on EZE, but I'm looking at Geiger. I'm looking at the bigger kid, Jerron Bradley, who's 6'5", was a freshman there, pretty excited about. Trey Cleveland's another bigger receiver who's a young guy. But Kuntz and Tharp, we don't think about tight ends when we think about Texas Tech. I think you will tomorrow.
That's a great point, man. That's that Matt Wells influence that he's trying
different.
To incorporate, you know, the power running game with some of those same principles of the air raid. And, you know, with those tight ends, so not only are you adding bodies to the running game and numbers to the running game when they motion those guys across the formation, put them at the H-back, but then you're testing the eyes of the linebackers.
Exactly it.
Right, so with that motion that guy to the side will usually run, then your play action pass, your RPO, isolate Luke Brockemeyer, as you brought up earlier, you know, that jet sweep motion, you're occupying the eyes of the linebacker. This is going to be a real good test for the Texas linebackers because in a lot of ways, they're going to get tested in not only with the run game, but also isolated in RPO game and also the play action pass game because I agree with you. The biggest compliment, I guess, you could give them in terms of the FIU film when you watch it was they must have went into that game saying, okay, guys, everybody knows Eazy-E is the only person we're throwing to in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
We have to diversify.
Yep.
We have to diversify. If we don't, then we're going to be too easy to game plan against. And it's exactly what they did in the FIU game. Now you have to try to account for Kuntz in the passing game, and was it Tharp, the other real tight end? And now they even got another wide receiver, Geiger, that you got to account for. So I think that was the point, and it was a they made that point very well with an exclamation point. Because Ezukama was not, I think he had what, 3 receptions in that game.
Yeah, he only had 3, and they quickly were like, hey, someone else is gonna beat us, and Shuck had no problem finding that other person.
You know,
now if Texas can find some pressure, but you said earlier. I think pressure is going to be an issue for Texas all year long. This would be a great day for an OV or right now he's their best edge rusher, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Maybe some one-on-one wins and some one-on-one matchups. And then once you get to that third and long, if you can get them there, dial it up, Coach K.
It'd be nice going up against a team that likes to utilize quick game if you can get interior pressure.
Yeah,
I know the interior D-line has been, you know, we've talked about how they're kind of a stand-your-ground defensive front. They don't move the pile, and they don't well, at least Arkansas.
Outside of Arkansas. Right.
They don't move the pile. They don't get moved. But they need to penetrate and disrupt more. They need to reset the line of scrimmage. You need to get interior pressure. Interior pressure could change the whole entire complexion of this game.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get interior pressure on Tyler Shough. We just haven't had it, so there's no reason for us to anticipate having it in this game.
Eric Monroe was actually a huge recruit, and he's a senior safety for them. He's someone to watch out. The other safety is Marquise Waters.
And they bring in
They've got a lot of transfers, man.
In the secondary, they brought in like two guys,
so,
right?
So, yeah, Waters is a Duke transfer. You've got Dunlap, who's an NC State transfer.
Is his name Muddy Waters? Does they call him Muddy Waters?
Do they really?
The coach called him that. Coach Wells called him that when I heard the interview on Light the Tower. He called him Muddy
Waters.
Two
things.
But I think he did it because of the song.
Andre Waters. Rest in peace. And number two, we can't do that in 2021. Okay? So take that right there. Yeah, Waters transferred from Duke. Dunlap, corner, transferred from NC State. Jacob Morgenstern. Shout out to the Tribe. He transferred from Duke. They've got a couple Duke transfers. They got an Arizona transfer, obviously, in Colin Schooler. Tyree Wilson, who's more of their bigger edge, kind of just more point of attack.
Yeah.
Not get blown up, right?
He's not
going to make a lot of plays, but if he holds his ground, he does his job. He's an A&M transfer.
Yeah. Then they got Pearson from Wisconsin. Is he a transfer too? Man, they really did.
It's all over.
Try to reinvent this roster in 1 year with the transfer portal. We'll see if it works. But they also healthy mix of super seniors, 12 super
12.
Seniors. And a lot of them contributing. I mean, you have Rico Jeffers is in that group, DeMarcus Fields, super senior, Colin Schooler, Jacob Morgenstern, he's in there, Eric Monroe in there. They got a lot of super seniors, nice mix of guys who remember all too well they were up two touchdowns on Texas with 3 minutes left last year.
Had no business losing that game.
But they did. And it haunts them, too. They say they bring it up like at least once a week.
They bring it up.
As a team.
And I go back to that game, and I understand it's different, but that's why 38-31, I'm actually okay with that. That I feel like this is going to be a high-scoring game. I wouldn't touch this line if I had to, but if I had to, I would take the over. Let me tell you something about something I know I will touch, and that is Apple Leasing. AppleLeasing.com. This is an easy bet for you. Just get there. One, you don't have to put any money down, so just go ahead and tell them what you want. You can search for free. Take that free leasing update and just kind of see, hey, is there something I want to drive or something I could be driving with the price? And take that free quote. It's on the upper right-hand side. Give them a make and a model or give them a price range. It's 512-346-9977. 512-346-9977. Rates as low as 2.9%. It's appleleasing.com. All right, man, we're getting close to the end here. We've given...
We've been exhaustive over this whole week,
which is what we're going to do. That's what you and I do. It's what we love about this show.
I don't think we missed anything. I'm pretty confident we've broken it down from almost every angle you can. I will say this, though. Tech has 6 losses by 7 points or less in the last 2 years. Their big mantra, their team is about closing. We want to close, right? Coffee's for closers. This year, they've had fourth quarter, basically,
they've
kind of comebacks and having to close. So that's been their mantra. Get it to the fourth quarter. Find a way to win. I know the competition is, you know, Stephen F. Austin and FIU and U of H. But that's what they failed to do last year versus Texas. So this is the game. No, this is the team that really started that mantra for them because it was such an epic collapse by them versus Texas when they were up 15 points with 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And people were already upset with Wells. Tech people I've talked to are not sold on him. They haven't been sold on him.
Right.
And they want to get a new coach. And there's just other, probably pissed off about beard and land rights and all types of stuff there.
Right?
I'm telling you, they'll bring up land rights every time you talk to them. It's like, all right, get over it. But this is a great game for him to kind of give that, hey, I am going to be the guy here. I read multiple articles on tech sites this week just trying to – I always like to get a feel for what's going on in their world.
I love it, yeah.
And multiple articles, a couple of them titled, Why Matt Wells Deserves Another Year. I thought, whoa, you're 3-0, and you're – I mean
– we're at that point?
We're at that point.
At 3-0.
We're at that point.
Man, so they even no matter what, he's almost like Tom Herman.
Getting into COVID and getting into those seven point or fewer losses.
So I said, it kind of reminds me of Tom Herman where some Longhorn fans, they were done even before he came into the 2020 year. Didn't matter what he did, really, unless he won it all, won the Big 12.
Yeah, it turned into that.
Yeah.
And he was pretty damn close, too. He was in a lot of those really close games.
Oh, yeah, a ton
of
them.
Now, the Tech fans will tell you the same thing. The Texas fans will. Yeah, we've also won a lot of close games. So we want to get a little bit of a separator. This is going to be a huge game for Matt Wells. He's got 12 super seniors. And this is also a really big game for Texas. We're still figuring out who Texas is. This is a black box type of game for me. We're going to know a lot more about the Big 12 and both these teams on Monday.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be fun. Hopefully it's fun. Hopefully that'll give me the bubble guts.
Yeah.
But either way, I think Texas is going
to
win.
You don't have to do post game.
They're going
to
win.
Yeah, you have them winning, right?
They're going to win. I'm just saying they might make me nervous. I don't want to be nervous. I want to win comfortably.
Dave and I did not pick Texas to cover. We both picked Texas to win, and I think you're on that same boat, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So 9's just too much considering. Could I see Texas winning this by 17? Absolutely. But I'm not going to tell you I know more about these teams, even though I've done everything I can to know about these teams. None of us do. We'll find out tomorrow.
Agreed, brother.
It's the beauty of sports. You have a great weekend.
I will.
I know you. Rod gets up like at 5 in the morning, so pregame at 7 is going to be fantastic for you, right?
I'll be up and at him. No
you
coffee
already
needed.
Be up and at him. No coffee needed. And so we got 7 a.m. pregame, 11 a.m. kick right here on the Horn. Get the Horn app. Get it for today. Make sure you're all set up for the high school football, and then have it for tomorrow as well. HornFM.com. We've had a fun week. Thanks to all the people in Leander, in Cedar Park, in Hutto. It was great meeting y'all, seeing a lot of y'all again. We'll be back on the road next week. John, it's good to see you, brother.
Great job
back there. John Reichel has been holding down the fort for us. We've got Snoop Daniels coming up next. Friday Flex. Peace and hook 'em.